All right. Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Welcome to Footwork.
This is Stoppage Time with Footwork, highlighting some of the best moments from episodes.
And this week we're talking with Aaron Walker, professional soccer player who plays for the Greenville Triumph in the USL League One. Aaron's journey as a professional has been a roller coaster, coming out of D3 university, having to prove himself, having to make it back to square one multiple occasions, and yet still finding the determination and self-confidence to make it again and again. Check out episode 109 for the full thing.
And find more at footwork.club, the official site of all things footwork.
Do you feel like having all of those ups and downs throughout the career and kind of having, I guess, the setbacks and also maybe the less chance of succeeding, do you feel like that made it that much more worthwhile and thus more grateful for how it turned out?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think the adversity has kind of made me a lot more headstrong and like toughened me up a bit. And, you know, I was raised with tough love, but I think like having that in my corners helped a ton as well. And just prepared me for what's going on here. So, yeah, I definitely think the trials and tribulations have got me and just kind of pushed me a little bit more. And now I feel more grateful to where, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, making my friends and family proud and myself proud. And I think that's a big thing for me. Just my family put a lot of sacrifices in for me to be where I am now. And I think that's definitely a huge reason on why I'm still going.
Do you think you could like count how many combines, tryouts, like if you put them under one umbrella, do you think like you could even like estimate?
I could probably estimate. I'd say about probably four combines and then maybe three or four invite onlys or maybe five preseasons. Mm-hmm. So like maybe 10 total. Somewhere in that range.
Hotels, the flights, all of these things that come with it, man.
The hotels, the flights, the weird situations you're in so many. It's just the life of the unknown. And I think that's what's so tough and also speaks to the adversity portion of it. There's just so many things you go into and it's like you can't control it. And I think that's so tough. But it's also you come out the other side with such a valuable lesson learned that, you know, you can get through a lot of things. But yeah, it definitely, the money started to add up. And again, speaks to what I was referring to with like, look, you're gonna have to give yourself every chance here because you can't keep spending this money.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. And we get a lot of questions from young guys like asking us, should we do these combines? Should I do this? And I think it's always, there's no right answer. There's no wrong answer for a lot of them. I think it depends on what you can do, the level you're trying to get yourself through. But I think it's important for guys to realize like where you are now didn't come from coming out of college and then finding your way into the USL and kind of staying there. This was a lot of no's in that process and a lot of money in that process. I mean, how did you reflect on this? Because it can be quite hard to hear no so many times, but still have that faith in yourself that the yes, all I need is that one.
Just trusting in your ability. And like I said, I think putting in the work gives you that confidence. When you're prepared, I think you feel a lot better about what you're doing. And I think I knew I was good enough. I just had to get in front of the right person. And having that confidence is huge. But yeah, there's a lot of no's in the beginning and a lot of like, oh, you are like, you know, you're well good enough, but you know, we're just not looking for this or for that. And, you know, maybe they were just speaking through their teeth, but at the end of the day, it gives you a little bit of hope. And I knew like, in these things I was doing well and hopefully standing out. It just wasn't working, but that's how it goes. You know, I think going back to the thing about, should I go to this combine? Should I try this? If you have the, I guess it's tough to say because everyone's financial situation is different too, but I think getting in front of as many people as possible is just, you can't lose doing that. I mean, it's huge. Like, because maybe you didn't impress at that time, but maybe 3 or 4 years down the road, you've already had a pro contract and someone was at that combine and they were like, oh, I remember this guy. And then maybe that helps you get a contract with them the next, you know what I mean? Like, it's just building connections is huge in anything in life. And I think getting in front of as many people as possible, is there's really no downside.
Let's dive into some details then for that first professional contract, because I mean, going to a place like Iceland, there's a lot of new sensations. There's a lot of new pressure, sacrifices, responsibilities. You're working under new coaches. You're away from your family in a much colder place than Atlanta. I mean, maybe alone at some points, but also meeting a lot of new people, new teammates. And I know Veltri is like pretty, it's pretty out there, isn't it, in terms of Iceland?
Yeah. So it was at the time they had changed the name right after I left. At the time it was called BI Bolungarvik, which is kind of a mouthful, but it's up there. It's like on the northwest coast in the fjords, like very desolate, not a lot going on. Obviously people know about Reykjavik, and it's probably three hours from Reykjavik up in the middle of nowhere.
Well,
and
yeah,
it was just getting like craned and picked up and dropped into a spot like that was definitely an eye opener, but it was just so cool. It was small town. Right when I first got there, you know, Iceland was in the winters, 20 hours of dark and 4 hours of light. So it was just very, very strange. It was a complete flip from being in Atlanta. But no, it was unbelievable. It was such a unique experience. And I think it, like, going overseas for a first contract, like, kind of gave me a lot to learn and bring back. And just being immersed in a culture, like we spoke about earlier, like in Europe, where that's the sport and that's what's the focus. And you're in it, like living it day in and day out, was just so cool.
What were some of those things that you took away when you eventually left Iceland?
Just a new like perspective on the game, I think, like how much these people truly love it, how passionate they are about it, and how every game is like just live and die. And I think like that's something that's shaped me for sure. Like not wasting time when you have time on the field to play, like being 100% in it and focused and like just the way we played too, it was just like the passion. I don't know. Like it was just, it's hard to speak. And I know you guys probably feel the same way being over there. Just like how much it means to them. And I think that like the game means so much to me, but I think that just made it so much stronger being over there.
In terms of a player, what do you feel like some of the things that, especially in those first months, I would say, are some of the things that you realize maybe I need to work on a little bit more? Okay, here's what I can bring that's different in this game. And then how do you feel like that accumulation of that season really kind of catapulted you a bit more as a player?
Yeah, I think the when I got there, the speed of play was, you know, eye-opening. It was a lot faster than I thought it was going to be. And the physicality side of it too was a huge thing. I didn't realize like these guys are serious, and it was just cool to be thrown into the fire like that almost. And I ended up playing with some really good players and a guy next to me in the middle who I'll speak about later. He taught me so much about just little subtleties of the game, and he had played at a high level. So I think the eye-opening things, like I said, speed of play and physicality were It took some time to get adjusted, but I think I adjusted pretty well.
As the career progresses, there's another area, there's another transition, I would say, because getting that first professional contract and then there's another waiting period, I think could be a very difficult time in a footballer's journey, because you feel like at this point, I made it. I don't necessarily need to, I shouldn't have to, I guess, do these things. And maybe it's a little bit of ego that we get from that first contract, but it makes sense. Like, I've put in the work and I've gotten to this point and I've gotten it. I mean, hopefully you would think I would get the next one without having to go back and doing combines and things. But again, as we learn, a lot of these things don't come as they're planned or how we expect them to. So after that year in Iceland, where is your head at coming back, not having a contract and kind of having to do very similar things as if you hadn't really even gotten that contract?
Yeah, you're spot on. It's I think it's easy to get carried away when you have a contract and you're like, oh, I made it. I got my foot in the door. And I mean, that really doesn't mean anything. Things change so quick in this game, and you have to be ready for all the ups and downs. And coming back, being relegated on top of struggling to find a contract, was a tough spot to be in mentally. And having to grind again and knowing what I did to just earn that first contract, I was like, I'm going to have to climb this mountain again. You know, luckily it didn't take too long, but still, like, that feeling of, oh, I'm going to have to prove myself once again is pretty daunting. So yeah, it was interesting to say the least, but it wasn't the only time I was going to have to do it.
Yeah. There you go. I guess the experience that you already had kind of helped you. And then also the experience in Iceland probably helped you in these trials and combines, because you do get scouted at one and you end up at FC Cincinnati. So how did that kind of come into fruition?
Yeah, it was another combine, soccer visa combine, where the assistant for FC Cincinnati at the time saw me. And again, another situation where he approached me, we chatted, and he said, hey, I want to, you know, get another look at you. So again, wasn't a sure thing. It was like, hey, you're at this first stage of the combine, and now we want to get a look at you privately. So it's not a contract. So I'm going to have to take another step and prove myself in front of them. So he said, hey, we have like an invite only trial coming up in the winter. We'd love to see you there, whatever. So I go home from the combine, have a little bit more time, pack up my stuff, end up driving up to Cincinnati, staying in another hotel for a couple days, doing that invite only. And then by the end of it, they offered me the contract. And then I was like, okay, like I've officially like made it, got my foot in the door. This is incredible. Not getting too far ahead, but fast forward a year later, I leave Cincinnati. The NASL folds that same season. There's a premium on players, premium on teams, and again, find myself in a spot where I'm struggling to make a team. And I'm thinking to myself, how's this happening? Yeah. I just played for two teams, let alone a bigger name in FC Cincinnati. And I thought, again, I was like, good. I was like, you know, I'm fine now. I've made it for sure. And then lo and behold, things don't work out. You know, agents try to get you places, but they already have their guys, and it's just so connection based, and one thing leads to another, and I'm out of a contract again. So square one. It was more of a moment where I was like, okay, maybe I'm not good enough. You know, it wasn't like I didn't know what I know now, where it's like a situational thing. Like you said, I didn't feel, you know, like the environment, you know, maybe it isn't the environment. Maybe I'm just not cut out for this, because this is the second time this has happened. Obviously knowing what I know now, it's great, but I wanted it. So I'm just going to keep chasing.
Square one again for the third time. So we're out of the contract in FC Cincinnati. I know you played a little bit MPSL around your hometown with Atlanta Silverbacks. Still trying to get that next break again back into the professional game. So we actually have a question from a fan here. You may know him. His name's Jake Keegan, and he wrote in to us. Kind of coming off of what we were just saying here was his question is, prior to your arrival in Greenville, was there any point where you considered hanging up the boots? And what went into your mental fortitude to keep going amidst the setbacks that you were facing?
There wasn't a moment where I was ready to hang it up. There's no way. Not yet. Maybe had I gone another year of not finding anything, maybe I would have started to think about it. But again, like I said, that it was like, this is what I wanted so badly. This is my passion. Just how much I love the game. I can't quit now. So I like, as much as it made sense to probably do it, hang it up, I was like, it didn't even cross my mind, because it's just like, there's no way I could break up with the game at that stage.
Now let's get into our fast feet round, a few quick fire questions. Favorite player growing up?
Steven Gerrard.
Ooh, I could have seen that just from seeing some games and watching some highlights.
Same.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. Nice.
I appreciate that. I just, something about, like, I'm a Liverpool fan, and I just remember watching him, like, even in his younger days, just like he was a complete midfielder to me. He could do everything. He could tackle. He could spray the ball diagonally. He could bring other players into the game. He could shoot. He could defend. He just, like, to me, one of the, like, most true complete midfielders. And I think I tried to model my game after him when I was growing up. I was just, like, so enamored with the way he played.
Makes sense. Favorite moment in football or in soccer? You're in the U.S. now.
Lifting. Yeah. I still call it football, but lifting the trophy in 2020 with Greenville was probably top for, you know, just like, the feeling of lifting that thing up and all the hard work paying off was just otherworldly, honestly.
Love that.
Most difficult moment?
Probably losing in the final the first year. So I had, obviously going through the ups and downs of not finding a team was tough, but getting to where we were in that year, the first year, and then losing in the final to North Texas was hard. And then it's cool to think that I had my most difficult moment in a final one year, and then the next year, my most exciting moment as a pro. Exactly.
Love that.
Time of the year, one year later. So it's kind of cool.
It's kind of a theme of your career, though, is like the hardship followed by the sweet moments. Yeah, exactly. That roller coaster ride. What about best advice you've ever received?
I think going back to no substitute for work is just like, whenever you're resting, someone else isn't. And I think there's a lot of days where I didn't want to go out and train. Obviously, as you know, like, some days you wake up, you're like, it's tough. I'm not feeling it today, but I have to try to get better if I really want this. So people tell, you know, someone told me that every time you're not working, someone else is there to take your spot. And I was, every time that I thought about that, I'd be like, all right. And I'd put the beanie on, put the hoodie on, go outside, run, or go touch the ball or do something. So that motivated me for sure.
Favorite place you've lived?
I'd probably say Iceland, honestly. Just,
wow, cool.
It was just so unique. Like, I've been very fortunate to love everywhere that I've been. Like, I haven't, since he was amazing, incredible group of people, just some, like, one of the most special teams I've ever been a part of. Since the town was great, Greenville is amazing, But Iceland was just so unique. And for that to be like my first contract too, is just like kind of opened my eyes up to everything. So I'd probably say Iceland.
How about favorite place to travel?
Honestly, Paris was awesome.
Yeah,
I think great city. I had a blast there. Just like so much fun. I've been fortunate to go to quite a few places over there for soccer and for vacation, but Paris was cool.
Best player you've ever played against?
So when I was in Cincy, we played Valencia in a friendly in the middle of the season. Incredible. It was like, I mean, I can't remember the attendance, but I think we had mid 20,000 to upper 20,000.
Damn.
Close to 30, I think it was. It was just like, it was unbelievable. And Danny Parejo, if you know who he is, he played Valencia at the time, central midfielder. This guy was just different. I mean, I remember playing in that game and just thinking to myself how, like, he just made the game so effortless. Like, he was just gliding around, connecting passes, playing balls first time around the corner. Like, it was just like, it looked so easy for him. And I think, like, that was why I was like, this guy's hands down the best player I've ever played against. It's just, so, he just made the game look so easy.
Baller. Now, you've been teasing this guy, I feel like, for a few moments in this episode. Best player you played with?
In Iceland. And it's not like a hands down decision for me. I've been fortunate to play with a lot of good guys and a lot of guys.
He's going to be very upset if his name's not coming next.
He's got to be up there too. He's a batsman. He's a central midfielder, and we played together in the middle, Nigel Quasi, and he played in the Premier League for 10 plus years in England. And when I referenced him earlier, just what he taught me in such a short amount of time of how to play that position was so valuable to me. He was just smart, and he had all the tools. He could do a lot. He could shoot, he could tackle. He was strong. He saw the game multiple steps ahead, which I don't think he saw the game better than any of us did on that team. And he was, you know, probably a bit frustrated at times, for sure. I remember him being a bit frustrated because he's playing with us and he's like, these guys just don't get it. And fair credit to him. He was right. I mean, he had played at the highest level in the world for 10 plus years and telling me stories about all these guys that he was playing with, Peter Crouch, you know, like, I can't even, the list goes on, but he saw the game so many steps ahead. And I think it was pretty cool to be next to somebody like that in the middle of the park who taught me so much in such a little amount of time.
Yeah. If you weren't a footballer, what would you be?
This is tough. Like I said, I think it'd be tough for me to sit behind a desk. Maybe I'll end up there one day. But coming out of left field, I might say chef.
Wow, that is coming out of left field. Okay, cool.
Yeah, for like DJ or musician, because music is super important to me. But I actually really enjoy cooking. And I like the ins and outs of like the food scene and like restaurants. And I think it'd be a pretty cool experience.
Are you also the guy who's on the DJ?
I was about to ask that.
In the Greenville, are you on the sticks?
I can be. I listen to a lot of different stuff, but most guys jump on it before I can get on it. So I just let them have it. Nobody's ever done a bad job DJing, so just keep them going.
Fair enough. Do you have a favorite book?
I don't know if I have a favorite, but I think for me, autobiographies are the most, you know, everyone likes different things, but I think that's my thing. I just read Green Lights, the Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'd seen that one, but just like seeing the way other people approach life and go about their daily routines and what's inside their minds, like, so intriguing to me. And especially with Matthew McConaughey. He's such a unique character that
absolutely,
it's wild to see some of the stuff that's going on up there for him.
Yeah,
but no, that kind of stuff.
I like
that one's up there. I read the Anthony Kiedis. He's the, I think he's the lead singer for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
I read his when I was younger, and I just remember being like, wow, this is wild. So like, because I feel like it's cool. Like you can learn a lot from some of these people and the way that they think.
Mm-hmm. Or any quote or mantra that you live by. I know you alluded to before with the, you can't replace hard work, but maybe something other than that.
Other than that, I think, and this is something that I didn't always do, and I don't know if it's necessarily a quote or a mantra, but just like trying to look at things in a positive light, like glass half full. And I don't think I was always that way. And especially with the ups and downs of my career, it's difficult to do that, but big believer in like manifesting, you know, like throwing positive stuff out there. And I think what you speak about is what you see, and the way you approach life. And I think that's something that I try to live by, is just turn all the negatives into the positives. And like I said, when one door closes, another door opens. Things happen for a reason. So there's no point in dwelling. You know, life's too short to dwell. So just turn the negatives into positives and ride the wave like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We couldn't have said any better, especially from one door closes, another one opens. That's like the story of your career. It's been such a fascinating journey, and we're super appreciative that you came to talk to us. And I think so many people are going to get a lot out of this one. And really, we just want to say, enjoy the time off from the game, come back healthy as we hope you will, and hopefully lift that trophy next year. But really, thanks again for coming on, and we'll be following.
I appreciate you guys having me. I enjoyed the chat. Let's do it again.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands to make their own path, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not, I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_podcast. Great time there. Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos. Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor, it doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.